Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back with Rosie Wong, Director of Academics and an instructor at the Natural Bowman's College in Berkeley, California. We've been talking about digestion and enzymes and how to find foods that are live with enzymes. What happens if we're way north and the food is limited? Is it okay to supplement, or do we need to supplement with different vitamins and minerals and enzymes?
I think supplementation definitely has a place. Food is the best way to get nutrients, for sure. And the reason why is because, you know, even though nutrition science has come a long way and we know a lot about the science of nutrition, there's still things that, you know, we'll continue to discover over the next decades that we don't know now. But one thing we do know is that an idea of nutrient synergy, and that's the idea that different nutrients work well together. And the great thing about whole foods is that there's nutrient synergy that naturally happens in whole food form. So, you know, different nutrients that work well together often come in the same food. So that kind of like natural wisdom of the food is getting imparted through nutritionally into the body. So when we have supplements, we, you know, as humans, we've isolated these different nutrients. And sometimes, since we know about the nutrient synergies, we can take different nutrients together, but we don't know about all of them yet. So there's that idea. And as well, the bioavailability of nutrients is much higher in whole foods than it is with supplements, depending on the person.
Okay. And if you are having whole food supplements that are made with the full food rather than in isolation in lower dosage, would they be much more available to the body over a synthetic?
Absolutely. Yes. So that's a great point. If someone is to take supplements, it's important to the best kinds of supplements are the ones that are food-based supplements that are actually coming from whole foods. Yeah.
Fantastic. What happens if somebody quickly uses a microwave on their vegetables before they eat them?
You know, microwaves have gotten a bad rap, and it's microwaving has been shown to actually be an okay way to prepare foods, and kind of, you know, the idea of, you know, the modern lifestyle, many people just have used the microwave to steam vegetables or just to quickly reheat foods. And, you know, as long as you have the whole foods, I think it's okay.
Oh, okay. That's new. And what, in the last decade, you've been in this business a long time. What's the most exciting new thing you've learned and taught in California about nutrition in your courses? Have you seen big changes in what you're actually teaching your students?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, the gut microbiome and the importance of the gut microbiome is a big topic, and it's been, you know, coming to light in the last decades that, you know, it's the importance of the gut microbiome can't be underestimated. It's about, you know, it's about 3 to 5 pounds in every person, and we really can think of it as another organ. So as much as we want to take care of our livers, we have to take care of the gut microbiome too. And it can affect everything from metabolism, digestion, immunity, sleep, mood, you name it, and the gut microbiome has some sort of influence on it. So just, you know, just more and more light is being shed on that. And, you know, scientists are kind of tracing how the gut microbiome changes over the generation and has changed over the generations that we've kind of moved to a more processed food diet for the worse.
Okay. Rosie, what would you suggest to someone who wants to take really good care of their microbiome and get it in optimum health?
So fermented foods, naturally fermented foods like pickles, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, miso, yogurt, kefir, all of these foods are, they replenish the gut microbiome and keep them healthy. In addition to that, eating a wide diversity of fruits and vegetables that contain what are called prebiotics actually feed the gut microbiome. So prebiotics are what the microbiome feeds on, so feeding them the proper nutrition keeps them healthy. So fermented foods on a regular basis and lots of fruits and vegetables.
Okay, so the fiber in all those fruits and vegetables are actually the prebiotics?
Exactly. Oh, it's the soluble fiber, yeah.
And this brings up the whole topic of the probiotics. Can we create a healthy enough gut microbiome with proper digestion and proper foods to keep the immune system and the vitality optimum? Or do we need high dosages of probiotics?
So this is kind of dependent on the person, the individual person and their diets, but I think probiotics, whether it come in pill form or through fermented foods, is actually really important. If we look to our ancestors, most cultures have some form of, probiotic food. Fermentation was a very important part of traditional food cultures. So, you know, and that's something that we're kind of lacking more in our modern way of eating, is that we're lacking that regular source of fermented food. So, you know, a way to get around that is to take probiotics in the form of pills, and that's a good way to get around it. The nice thing about naturally fermented foods is that you get a wider diversity of microorganisms than you would get in a pill. So certain pills, they'll have just like, you know, X number of strains of bacteria. But in naturally fermented foods, there's going to be, you know, a huge diversity of microorganisms. So again, the food is the best. And also, it's very understandable that some people don't have access to some of these things, or they're not a regular part of people's diet. So taking probiotic pills is a good way to supplement.
And a lot of people say to take the time to create whole foods and to eat properly is so expensive. What advice could you give for families trying to teach and educate their children and work with their foods as their medicine?
Sure. A high quality whole foods diet doesn't have to be expensive. You know, you can fill the diet with less expensive things like beans and grains and lots of vegetables, and kind of use high quality animal proteins as just a garnish. If animal proteins are purchased, there's a big difference between, you know, buying a chuck roast versus a filet mignon, for example. So learning how to, you know, take inexpensive cuts of meat and turning them into delicious stews is a good way to go. As well, organ meats are something that have kind of like fallen out of our modern vernacular in many cultures. And, you know, bringing back organ meats and understanding how nutrient-dense different organ meats are, that's a great way to get animal proteins. And actually, organ meats are much higher in micronutrients than even muscle meat is. That's much more common. So, you know, bringing back liver and heart and, you know, some of these things. And I know liver isn't something that's necessarily palatable to a lot of people, but a good way to do it is taking liver and just pureeing it and folding it a little bit into, you know, hamburger meat or something like that. Animal bones can be turned into broth, and bones are generally very inexpensive, and using that broth to make soups and stews. And the other thing is, you know, time is a commodity. A lot of people say that, yes, okay, I hear all these things, but I'm busy because I work full time, I have kids to take care of, and so time becomes like a very important resource. So implementing cooking tools like pressure cookers or slow cookers is a good way to go, because pressure cookers, you know, normally beans take upwards of an hour to cook, but a pressure cooker will take, you know, make beans in like 15 minutes or less. And slow cooker as well, you can just put it on, plug it in, and just, you know, go off and, you know, do your day and then come back and have a meal already for you.
Fantastic. Rosie, you sound very passionate about whole foods and cooking and bringing this all together for optimum health. What caused you to teach this, and why is it so important to you?
You know, personally, I encountered some health issues earlier on in life that weren't really being addressed through conventional medicine. So I kind of had to turn to other modalities of healing and really understand what's going on with my body. And unfortunately, it wasn't until well into college that I was, you know, I kind of made the connection between, oh, this stuff that I'm putting into my mouth actually makes a huge difference with how I'm feeling and, you know, my immune system and how I'm healing and everything like that. And so then my background is in science, and so I just turned it to food, and I just got so fascinated with food, and I love to cook, so it just seemed like such a natural fit. You know, I think that it's kind of, I love the idea of just like reconnecting and connecting with this idea that food really nourishes us and it tastes good and it should be celebrated. And, you know, we should really get back to really enjoying food. And that's, you know, that's the other thing, is that being healthy or having a healthy diet doesn't mean you have to be punitive with your diet. It doesn't mean you have to eat food that doesn't taste good. And to the contrary, you know, it's like, food should taste good. Food should be enjoyed. So I just love getting us back, you know, helping to get us back to that philosophy and reconnecting people to food and how it really nourishes us and makes us healthy.
Yeah, well, you're a wealth of information. Do you have any favorite authors or cookbooks that you would like to share before we close?
Oh, wow. Gosh. Well, there's the one we use in our curriculum about digestion is called Digestion Connection. And it's a really, for anyone that's, you know, investigating their own digestion, it's by Elizabeth Lipsky. And it's a great resource and it talks about how digestion works and like kind of various parts of digestion. So that's kind of a Bowman favorite.
Okay, super. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Rosie. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure.
Okay, we'll be right back.